know, sometimes I go to my local GP, the doctor, and on their notice board, there is written, I bandage wounds and God heals. So we have to wait there while our turn comes. So we keep looking at that thing. It looks like the doctor is saying, I bandage wounds, but God heals. And I was thinking about it. And it looked like as if, yes, many times we injure each other. And then I should say, that line would also be true, like the doctor does. We should say, I forgive, then God heals those wounds. And so it has got tremendous power, as Anand introduced the subject, the power of forgiveness. It has power to bring forth that soul healing that is so required. So I'm going to read one story from the Bible, and that is taken from the Gospel of Matthew. And so just bear with me as I read it. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to it. Otherwise, let me read it for you. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21 onwards. And that story is told by Jesus, and so it is going to be interesting. Matthew 18, 21 onwards. Then Peter, that is one of the disciples of Jesus, came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Is it up to 7 times? As if to say, I could forgive him once, I could forgive him twice, I can forgive him 3 times, and perhaps the maximum I can think of is 7 times. And Jesus answered, I tell you not 7 times, but 77 times. It is either 77 or 70 multiplied by 7. That means 490 times, which basically is saying, not 7 times, not 77, not 707, and not 490 times, but unlimited time. And therefore, he explains what he means by that. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents, that is, you know, crores of rupees, who was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay the master, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his other fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. That means a few thousand rupees. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. And the master called the servant. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. And so Jesus explaining principle of forgiveness, he is trying to ensure that we follow that principle very well, because something significantly is at stake. And he is drawing a profit and loss kind of statement as to what has been to your profit. And then it comes to, as you draw a profit and loss statement to someone else, that in comparison is insignificant, because you have received a mighty healing, mighty forgiveness from God. And this evening we sang various songs. That is the indication of how we need to deal with other people. Now here is Varsha right before me. And suppose out of my craziness, I just slap her. I will not. I slap her. You will say, why is that man slapping this small child? It's not good. That is terrible. And taking my example further, I decide to slap tariqah. That would really, really shock. And I would take it further to say we have a new chief minister and I happen to see him and I decide to. Now that made you laugh, really laugh, because that means I am absolutely crazy and I need to be taken care of and get cooled either in the mental hospital or in the prison somewhere. But my sin is much more grievous than me doing all these three things I mentioned, because my sin is against the Almighty. The death that Jesus died on the cross, about which we sang, is my slap onto his face. And therefore, I must be the craziest person, and therefore, I deserve the worst kind of punishment that you could think of. Not in the mental hospital, not in the jail, but death. Because that is what you would receive. But even when I received that, as we read in the story, the criminal, he said to the other criminal who was being crucified, he said, we are receiving just recompense for what we have done. We deserve it and we need to die, but he has not done anything. And then he looked at Jesus and said, have mercy on me. And he said to him, when you come into your kingdom, do remember me. And Jesus says, I will. And today you will be with me in paradise. And so that just portrays that Jesus, instead of punishing me, instead of giving me the death penalty, instead of finishing me off because I have done the highest level of sin one could imagine, he forgave me. And I need to be overwhelmed to such a degree that it is looking like a debt of thousands of crores has been, I've been set free from such a massive debt that I could never, never repay back. And therefore, if somebody does an injury to me, a harm to me, I need to ensure that I need to look at what I am releasing. It is equivalent to a few thousand rupees compared to this huge, massive amount. What is this? I should be easily and freely able to do that. That is what Jesus is saying to Peter. When somebody comes to you to ask you for forgiveness once, twice, seven times, 770 times, you just give it, because in comparison to this is nothing. It is pittance. And that is what he is trying to establish. Our focus on ability to relate to each other will require forgiveness. When we come within the range of being loved, we also come within the range of being hurt. And forgiveness is crucial. Those of us who are married, may I say more? We injure each other so much. We are let go of the handle, and then we realize the one we love the most, we have hurt them most. And we need to forgive each other in order to start the next fresh day. And so forgiveness is a very, very powerful thing. So let's look at some of the things. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is a command, not an option. And we have given you some handouts. If you wish to fill in the blanks, I think those words which are underlined will be there for you to fill in. Forgiveness is a command, not an option. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. I think even if I stopped here and went home, this one is enough. You agree with me? You don't need any more 21 principles why you should forgive. It's once and for all. I was told that the Queen of England, whenever she visited any town, city, island, whatever, it was the duty of the mayor to ring every possible bell in that town. That's the normal practice to welcome the Queen of England. Well, she did land up in one of the islands and no bell was rung. After the preliminaries were over, she asked the mayor, how come no bells were rung when I arrived? And the mayor says, Your Majesty, we have 7 reasons why we could not ring the bell. Number one, we don't have any bell in town. Number two, and the queen said, that'll be enough. Let's carry on. I think one is enough. It is commanded, and therefore it is not an option. It is, we are commanded. You must forgive each other. Forgiving each other just in Christ. Always keep that focus, because when we look at the cross, when we look at what God has done for us in Christ, that gives us bearing for life. We are sinners. We are requiring constantly looking at that and say, Lord, please cleanse me. Please wash me. And then when we receive that, we need to go and minister that to each other, especially in our relatives, our homes, our parents, our children, our spouses. Forgiveness is a decision. It's not a feeling. Forgiveness is a decision, not a feeling. best way I can tell you is about, let's say, two friends. Let's say there is a man who has got to take an admission for his daughter, who has just cleared her 12th, and she has in the merit list come up with very good marks, and she's got the admission in a leading medical college. But there is a massive fee that has to be paid, and he doesn't have the full amount. He's falling short of a couple of lakh of rupees. So he needs a temporary loan. Knowing certain person, let's call this man Suresh, and let's call that man Prakash. So Mr. Suresh goes to Prakash and says, I have this need. Would you be happy to give me a loan? And I'm happy to give you an IOU, and I'll pay it back in the next 6 months. So Suresh gives him the couple of lakh of rupees, and Prakash gives him gives to Suresh a couple of lakh of rupees, and Suresh in turn writes a note, I, Suresh, do promise to pay back to Prakash the sum of 2 lakh in the next 6 months, and signs and writes the date and gives it to him. But as Suresh goes to pay the money, somebody pickpockets his money. Now he's got a double tragedy. He has to pay that money, plus he has to pay the fees as well. So he doesn't want to disturb Prakash again. He goes to another friend, borrows from him, gives him also an IOU, and pays the fee so that admission work is done, but goes next day and meets Prakash and says, would you please give me an interval of 12 months instead of 6 months, because this is my tragedy. And Prakash says to him, you now have to pay two people, 2 lakhs, 2 lakhs. He said, yes, that's too much for you. Let me tell you my decision. My decision is, I cancel your debt, you are free. And Prakash said, no, I will pay it back. No, he said, I'm just telling you, this is too much for you. Cancel that loan. Finished. And Suresh is so thrilled that there are people like Prakash who are willing to give this loan and cancel it off. He's very grateful. He thinks very highly of Suresh. The following Sunday, he comes to a church like this, and he sees Prakash standing there worshiping. And so he decides, let me sit next to this gentleman. So he sits next to him. And the songs were going on. And as the songs were going on, people lift their hands. So he sees Suresh sees Prakash lift his hand. And Suresh also is thanking God out of gratefulness. My daughter's got admission. People are willing to trust me, give me loan. This fellow is giving me, canceling the loan as well. How nice, wonderful. And he's just thanking the Lord with his hand lifted high. In between the songs, he notices that Mr. Prakash occasionally puts his hand in his pocket, takes out some piece of paper, has a look at it, has a look at Suresh on the right, and then folds the paper, keeps it back, and continues worshiping. And Suresh is wondering, what is he reading and why is he looking at my face? So, in the middle of the thing, he peeps over to see what is that note. And guess what? He's reading that IOU note. I, Suresh, promised to pay Prakash this sum of rupees, 2 lakhs, in the next 6 months. And he opens it up, folds it, keeps it back, and continues worshiping. But Prakash is not able to worship. So after a couple of times when he has removed that note, and he leans over to Prakash and says, listen, I will pay you your money within 12 months. And he leans back and says, I told you it is canceled. Why are you worried? He says, no, I will pay you back. In fact, I will pay you in the next 6 months. I'll pay you first and I'll pay him later on. And Suresh says, don't be crazy. This is too much for you. I told you it is canceled. He said, if it is canceled, why do you keep looking at that note again and again? And Prakash says, oh, this note is bothering you. So he removes that note and tears it to 1,000 pieces and says, now are you free? He said, now I feel free. You really, now I know that you have canceled my loan completely. Now, I just gave this fictitious, perhaps unreal example. But I tell you what, it is true, because there are many of us got a lot of IOUs in our pocket against our spouses. And those whom we have grudge against, I forgive you. But it is there, and you can feel whenever there is something gets heated up, you feel a dagger coming up. And you feel it can land anytime. And it could be, the dagger could be, your khandan could be exposed all over again, or anything about your past, your anything can come up. And so you dread that moment. I think forgiveness is a decision, not a feeling. And we, if you truly forgive, we need to pull out all our IOUs and tear them to pieces. Only then have you truly forgiven. Just saying, I forgive, it doesn't help. We need to ensure that it's truly and completely forgiven. Oops, some color. Okay. Forgiveness leads to healing. Job chapter 5 and 2 in the Bible, in the Good News Version, says, to worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. Another place he says, you're only hurting yourself with your anger. In other words, says, some men stay healthy until the day they die. Others have no happiness at all. They live and die with bitter hearts. They live and die with bitter hearts. Hurting yourself with your anger and, you know, living with resentment would cause a lot of damage. Someone said, if you harbor unforgiveness, is like acid or like poison. But the trouble with this is, if I harbor unforgiveness against someone, it is as if I am drinking poison hoping the other person will die. As foolish as that. That's what it says. To worry yourself to death with resentment would be foolish, senseless thing to worry yourself to death. Likewise, says you are only hurting yourself with your anger, and some men stay healthy until the day they die. Others have no happiness at all. They live and die with bitter hearts. That kind of bitterness is not allowed. Our body can handle certain degree of variation, but an unforgiveness can generate unwanted chemicals, which can be really, really problematic. I recall a story. You know, one of the friends I have, whose name is Jimmy Katrak, he lives in near Bombay Central. He called me up one day and he said, Stanley, I have something to tell you. I said, what is it? He said, I have a bank account in so-and-so bank, and there is a bank teller with whom I relate for the last several years. He always attends to me when I go there. He's a very jovial, very jolly comedian chap, and we always have a lot of fun and laughter when I go to make my transaction. But he said, today I went to his to the bank, and for the first time I saw him very mournful, very sorrowful. And I said, what happened today? There is no joy on your face. To which he said, well, my wife has just been diagnosed with cancer on her urinary bladder, and it is fourth stage. There is nothing we can do. And she has got a month to live. And it is finished for her. And so he said, can I bring my church priest to pray for pray for your wife? He said, sure, anything is better than nothing. And so the call was to ask me, would I be willing to go? I said, sure. So a few of us gathered together. We went to this place in Andheri. And this couple's name was Dikuna. And we were welcomed by Mr. Dikuna, that is the bank teller, his wife, who had the cancer. They had two children. And his parents were also there. We welcomed well. We had something to drink. And after one, I asked the lady what happened. She said for quite some time, she used to have pain whenever she, went to the toilet. When she passed urine, it did have pain, but she ignored it. Moreover, it is being to do with something to do with the, privacy she didn't want to share with others. But it seems a little while back, when she went to pass urine, she passed blood with it. That time she got alarmed. She went to a local GP. Local GP said, you run to Tata Memorial. She went to Tata Memorial. They did a series of tests and says there is a cancer which is advanced. It is long neglected. And therefore, the problem is it's too late and we can't do nothing. So that was state was. And I, spoke to her various things, and she was very warm to receive. And I said, have you made peace with God? Because we know when you are just one step from death, you need to ensure make peace with God. And she said, yes. Somebody else came a few days back and led me into an understanding of my sin, understanding of the barrier between me and God. And I prayed, that God would remove that barrier. I confessed my sin. I asked Jesus to forgive me, and he did forgive me. And I feel great about it, and I am ready to die. I said, wonderful. We'll pray. Pray might heal, pray might not heal, but at least you have made peace with God. So in case you die, you know you're right into his presence. She said, yes. I said, anyway, now let's pray for your healing. So we all put our heads down, and I was about to pray when I remembered something of these elements of this verse. And I said, wait a minute. I said, Mrs. Dikuna, I just feel an urge to ask you a question. Do you have any unforgiveness in your heart against anyone? And she said, yes. And I said, against whom? And she pointed to her father-in-law, mother-in-law against them for the terrible things they have done ever since I got married and came here. And both the in-laws kind of put the head down, feeling extremely embarrassed. In fact, I was embarrassed because it was head on there. And I didn't know what to do. I had to use all my wisdom and skill to salvage the situation. And I said, Mrs. Dikuna, you have gone to church? She said, yes. And I said, you must have prayed the prayer Jesus teaches us to pray. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. She said, yes. I said, don't you understand that unless you forgive them, you will not be forgiven? She says, I know. I have forgiven them a few times, but next day morning that unforgiveness comes back again. I said, you know what? Jesus knows your situation, that when you forgive somebody a particular day, next day it can come back. So he's given us a formula. If you follow that formula, what you release remains released. He said, what is that? I want to know. I said, there is a verse in the Bible. I said in Luke chapter 6. It says this. It says, pray for those who persecute you. Bless those who curse you and do good to those who despise you. I said, do these three things. Pray and bless and do good. If you do these three things, after you're forgiven, what you forgive will remain forgiven, will not come back. I'll try that, she said. I said, would you like to pray and bless your in-laws right now? And then I will pray. And maybe tomorrow, find an opportunity to do something good to them. If they like a particular dish, cook that dish, don't cook the other one. And if they are old and if they need any massage, give them the massage. Just treat them well. Find opportunities to serve them so that what forgiveness you release will remain. She said, I'll do that. I said, why don't you pray right now? And she prayed a prayer, and I believe it was a genuine prayer, because she prayed that they will have long life. I thought that is an interesting prayer. It must be from the heart. You know. She prayed a lot of good things for the in-laws, and then I felt good about it, and I prayed my prayer. And then we went off. About a week later, my friend Jimmy Katrak, he called me again. He says, Stanley, just want to tell you something. And I said, what is it? He said, next day onwards, her blood that she was passing when she went for urine, that stopped. Also, the pain that she had, excluding that, also stopped. 3 days, no pain, no blood. So she went again to the Tata Memorial Hospital. They did all the series of tests, and they said, we cannot believe it. Your previous reports and current reports are poles apart. No trace of cancer in your body. And so believe that is true. Forgiveness leads to healing. I do not know why some of these tablets are called all related to sin. Erythromycin. Streptomycin. If it is not my sin, it is somebody else's sin. Crocin. Somebody's sin is there. At the root of many of our sicknesses, it is there. I'm not saying that anybody who has got cancer is because of sin, but I do believe that there is some connection. And check it or not, when we handle an unusual level of anxiety, resentment, bitterness, it does cause some imbalances to come. And that is very crucial. Looking further, that's the verse. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. If you use that verses, it will give you a required effect. That is Luke 27:28. And 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love keeps no record of wrong. Love keeps no record. Whom you love, especially your spouse, tear away those IOUs. Your own family members with whom you are bitter. Your friends, sometimes we fight against them. Love keeps no record, and we need to tear out all our IOUs. Unforgiveness will only hurt your own self. Further, it says, forgiveness is unilateral. Forgiveness is unilateral. It means not only is a decision we take, but forgiveness is released from us and released to others totally and completely. You know, we have been dwelling on the work Jesus did on the cross, and this is a beautiful verse which comes. It says about Jesus, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. Now, Cindy read for us some portion from the Bible, and this is what she read. She said that, Jesus was crucified, the crown of thorns was pushed on his head, and finally those nails were pierced, and he was hanging there gasping for breath because it was excruciating to hang on it. And to take breath, you have to sort of pull yourself onto that. And it should have been excluding pain to push yourself on your feet, on the nails, and pull yourself on your nail. And then take the breath. And every breath would be, you know, a torturous moment. And he hung there for so many hours, 6 hours. That must have been excluding slow, torturous death. You must be gasping for breath for yourself. But in that moment, Jesus looked at all the masses around him, the soldiers which were persecuting him, the soldiers who had crucified him, the Roman authorities, the religious authority which had plotted and schemed, and people were shouting for his blood. In spite of that, Jesus said on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." And it seems that word there is, he kept on saying. That means he said a number of times. As every time any bitterness, resentment, anger tried to come into him, he flushed it out by forgiving his people. And he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And so this is the power that comes from the cross. Unilaterally, nobody was repenting. Nobody was asking him and saying sorry to him. It was not based on whether they come to him or not. He said, "Whether they come or not, I am going to release it." And therefore, in a sense, forgiveness is already released from heaven. It's only when we receive it that we appropriate the benefit thereof. But as far as he's concerned, it is already released. In our relationship, we may have a sour moment. We may have hot moment. And somebody is hesitating to come. But whether they come or not, if our hearts are ready in advance to release the forgiveness, it's a question of we meeting them, and it's a question of releasing it and they receiving it. And therefore, we must be ready to unilaterally release that forgiveness. Just as here, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were God's enemies, we were powerless, we were sinners, and we were enemies. We were enemies. We were fighting as God. We were, like I described to you, slapping as it were God. And still, Jesus said, "Forgive him, for he does not know what he's doing." That is the posture from which we come. We have a God. And that song we sang, it's amazing love. I cannot say how my king can die for me. How can he forgive me when I am slapping him? How can he forgive me when I am nailing him? He's dying for my sins. How can he forgive me? How can he say, "Forgive them"? It's mind-blowing. That's the mind-blowing part. And if we know this is the mind-blowing and we appropriate the benefits, it's only right that we release those benefits when it comes to our relationships. Forgiveness is not minimizing the seriousness of the offense. Forgiveness is not instant restoration of trust. You know, it's not instant restoration of trust. Somebody borrows my book and loses it. Somebody borrows my books and keeps coffee over it, and it has now got bloated with all coffee in it. And next time he borrows it, then he misplaces it. And he comes to me fourth time to borrow. What do I do? I will give him a photocopy of the book. But I will give him. Until he borrowed several photocopies and kept them intact, then maybe next time I'll give him the book again. So question is, it will take a while to trust. Sometimes there is a husband-wife relationship, and maybe the husband has cheated on his wife and the wife is hurt badly, and he then repents and he says, "You know, give me another opportunity and I will try to rebuild my marriage." And she says, "Fine." Now, she may not instantly trust him because trust is earned, but she forgives him and gives him an opportunity to see how he can work himself back. Believes when he starts working, make his way. Thanks him when he takes one step at a time. So that element of doing it is there. So trust is never given, trust is earned, but forgiveness is given by us, and we need to be willing to do that. Resuming the relationship without forgiveness, forgiving is not resuming the relationship without any changes. There will be some changes. If you betray someone or you cheat someone regularly, it will take a while to restore it. Forgiveness is not condoning or authorizing the wrong act. Forgiving is not forgetting, and forgiveness, we may not forget, but in course of time, it will no longer have the thorn-like feeling. Otherwise, early, every time you remember, you feel. No, you can, it was bad. That's okay. And you no longer feel the pain that was associated with that. Forgiving is not pretending to be nice. Forgiving is not letting people off the hook. And forgiving is not magic, but it requires hard work. It is time-consuming, and it takes a while, especially when a lot of trust has been lost in the whole thing. Romans 12:19 says, "Never avenge yourself. Leave that to God, for he said that he will repay those who deserve it." You know, revenge is what is the favorite theme of Bollywood. But keep that aside. We are not allowed that. We are not allowed that privilege. We are not allowed to take the law or the dagger in our hand. We will leave that to God. We will do our part of forgiving and let God do his part. Forgiveness is like a river that flows from God through me to others. And I want to say it's like a huge dam which has got a valve. And if I turn the valve, I can get the full blessing of the dam filled with water. But there is a valve. And that valve is me able to forgive others. If I forgive, then I get the privilege of the massive supply that comes. But if I don't forgive, that valve will not open. That's the beautiful part. That's my responsibility. And God is saying, I have abundant supply for, but condition is you turn the tap. And your turning the tap is forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgiveness is conditional. That is, forgive us our trespass as we forgive those who trespass against us. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sin. For unforgiveness leads me to the torturers. In this story, this man was put back into the jail. But they were not called jailers, they were called torturers. And that's very interesting. I have noticed some people who have unforgiveness, which is really taking over them. They have ghastly thoughts. They have, as it were, demonic forces which disturb them, don't allow them to sleep well. They rise out of suspicion. There is a trauma that is there in their life. And therefore, they are allowing themselves to be tortured by those forces. But when we forgive, we are making sure that that right which any enemy may have is lost completely. We have our body, soul, and spirit is actually remaining intact, as it were, in sync, so that there is a complete peace. Otherwise, everything is flowing in all directions and it only leads to our torture. So unforgiveness leads me to torturers. Unforgiveness leads me to a prison. I get imprisoned with my own feelings, my emotions, my resentment, my anger, and I am living a miserable life thinking negatively about that person. You know, some people have a big memory, a computer RAM memory, 500 GB hard disk. Whatever you do, it gets stored. And they can tell you, in the year 1985, when you are wearing a blue shirt, this is what you said to me. And then if you say something now, that gets added. The tape becomes bigger and bigger in the whole process. They can rattle off. Now we need to just erase that disk, delete that data, because otherwise it is only going to harm me. The more negative data I carry, the more problem we have. Unforgiveness brings me into some kind of bondage of some kind. I know people who have been hurt by somebody else, and let's put another name. Give me one name. Say a man's name. That does not match with anybody here. Give me a name. Okay, Paul. Let's give it Paul. A young girl. We give you the name, but it's a real story. A woman lost her husband. She remarried. Second husband's name was Paul. She had a daughter, aged 13. And this second husband did the unpardonable thing to the daughter. I'm using those words because of the kind of audience we have of different ages. So he did the unpardonable thing that caused the daughter at the age of 13 to have to go through abortion. And this led a deep resentment against her stepfather. Mother and daughter tried to commit suicide. 3 days they were unconscious in the hospital. He never came to see them. Eventually they left the house and they started to live their life again. She began to attend our church when she was around 18 years old, and she was staying in one of the hostels. One day she was coming back from her college when a young man passing by on a bicycle kind of teased her. What would you do, ladies, if somebody teased you? Well, this is what she did. She pounced on the man, began to pound him with her fist, and began to scream loudly so much that the man ran away, leaving the bicycle behind. She took the bicycle to her hostel. Then they got threatening phone calls. And the hostel is in Bombay Central area, which is not a very good area in some ways. So the warden began to tell her, you please keep the bicycle out. She said, never. She said, then you got to do something, because I don't want to face this. I don't want to put any of our girls at risk. If you want to keep it, you'll have to go to the police and make a complaint. She said, she walked to the police station, made the complaint. Which of you men will go to the police station? She went to the police station, made the complaint. The police inspector, trying to get rid of her, he said, well, I do not know who has teased you, but if you think it is one of these gangs around here, then if you wish, I can put you in my jeep and we can go from den to den and you can identify the person. He said, let's go. See, when you have bitterness and anger against somebody, it comes out to somebody else. If you have somebody called Paul, then any other Paul you meet, you'll show your anger against him. If you have anger against that person and somebody touches you in the bus in an inappropriate way, even accidentally, then your anger against that Paul that you could not show will come out against this person. That's what happened. And eventually she came to one of the camps and she had a difficult time to forgive her father, which she did finally in that camp. She wrote a long letter and forgave her father, and then she had peace, and I'll tell you about it later on. But that's what happened. If you will come into a bondage if you do not release that person completely. Forgiveness reflects the nature of God. You are, oh God, you are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. So when we forgive, if we want to be conformed to become godly, become godlike, having his qualities, then the only way to do is if he's forgiving, then we got to also embrace forgiveness. All reasons to forgive. Forgiveness is renouncing resentment or revenge as a solution. Forgiveness is canceling debt. Forgiveness is pardoning the offender and not punishing them. It is a choice, yes, a difficult one, but a right choice. Forgiveness can be learned. Begin with the realization of your own mistakes and sin. If we do not have forgiveness, we can start by saying, let me make an inventory. How much has God forgiven me? You start writing down all your sins. I tell you, when you write down, if you wrote down one sin per day that you committed, like me, 62 years, my list will look like 24 telephone directories. And I look at that, it is terrible what I have done. Now, when somebody does something against me, it is a booklet size in comparison to that. And so, as we realization of our own mistakes and sin, consider the pain of not being forgiven for our mistakes. If I have to stand in the courtroom of God with these charges against me, I have no chance to survive. So think of the consequences. Realize that what you expect from others should be given to others by you. If I expect to be forgiven, then they should have a right to expect being forgiven from me. Extend that same attitude to those who have offended you. Forgiveness frees you to enjoy life again and is well worth the investments. Refocus. Put your heart right. Reach out to God and then face the world again. Firm and courageous. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory like floods that are passed and remembered no more. Floods from the past and remembered no more. And I want to just tell you, if this evening we have any issue or you think that needs forgiveness, perhaps in as husband and wife, perhaps as some close friend with whom you have fought and are not on talking terms for quite some time, then today is the day to finish that deal once and for all. And to do that, first and foremost is, before you think of others, think of how much God is willing to forgive, or how much God has forgiven us, and how much more he's going to forgive us. If that inventory is made, it will make a host of difference. Then you think of the other person who has hurt you and take a piece of paper, write down all the things they have done. And then take that paper before God and say, Lord, you have forgiven me so much, so I have no right to expect anything else. So I unilaterally decide to forgive this person. So, Heavenly Father, just as you have forgiven me, I release that person. I bless that person. I pray for their family. I pray for their finances. I pray for their relationship. I pray for their prosperity. I pray for their good health. I pray for every way good things about them. And so as I pray, and I say, Lord, if I get another opportunity, I will try to see if I can do some acts of kindness towards them so that my heart remains flushed out of the whole thing. After praying that prayer, we could take that sheet of paper and tear it to pieces as a sign. I cancel all the IOUs and throw it away. And now, Lord, it is into your hand. I will not take revenge. I give it to you. If you feel injustice, you have to do something that is your prayer. I'm not going to think. I'm going to only think about blessing them. Because on the cross, you said, Father, forgive them. You forgive me even before I asked your forgiveness. So why do I have a right to expect others to not be forgiven until they ask? I forgive them unilaterally. And if you do that, you will be set free. And I trust that the sweetness of a married relationship will come back. Sweetness of friendship will come back. Sometimes you may have an ought against your fathers and mothers. Something has gone wrong. Or maybe an uncle who has cheated you on property. You need to forgive that uncle also. Or whoever it is, you need to think of them and see what you can do to ensure things which are done against you are completely gone. Shall we pray? Is our eyes are closed and I'm about to pray, I thought we can just pause for a minute. And this minute would be a point for you to think of anyone you need to forgive. Anyone you need to release. If there is any negative thoughts and anger that comes to your mind when you think of a name, any resentment comes to your mind, any bitterness comes to your mind, and you cannot think positively about that person, you cannot pray a prayer of blessing for that person, and that's the person you need to forgive. So think of that person. Think of that couple. And right now, in the name of Jesus, release that forgiveness. Why should you be in bondage? Why should you torture your body? Why should you have any psychosomatic illnesses? Be free. So release them. Pray for them. Bless them. Cancel those IOUs. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this evening for your love, which is so amazing, that you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross for us, to grant us total forgiveness, to cancel all our record of sin. And your scripture also says that as far as east is from the west, so far have you removed our sin. And you have cast our sin to the depths of the deepest sea, that those sins will not be remembered anymore by you. You have washed us and given us a brand new life. And I believe, Lord, even if you have not done it so far, even if we come to you now, you will forgive us, you will cleanse us, you will wash us and give us a brand new start. Lord, we pray even as we appropriate those wonderful things you have given from the cross to us, as we receive your unilateral forgiveness, that we will experience the power of forgiveness in our own lives. We will experience freedom. We'll experience cleansing. We'll experience being set free from guilt and condemnation. And now, Lord, we want to pray in the same way. We want to release those who have hurt us. We want to pray a prayer of blessing to them. We want to ensure that they are well off in every way. We want to release good words from our hearts to them. So, Lord, we pray, help us as we do that work, that your grace will cover us, energize us, that we can release that forgiveness, and so bless us. Bring back our wholesomeness and our health all over again, and be with us. Enable us to live this new kind of life. May we become more like you. As you are forgiving, we may become a people who constantly forgive others, that it will ease a lot as we relate to one another, because forgiveness will flow galore in our midst. So help us and so be with us as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.